You are listening to NTC Messina's podcast, where our desire as the family of God is to simply know God, love one another, and make disciples.
So I want to give you a couple more announcements real quick. Next week, make sure that you're tuning in. We have a great message that's actually going to come from a good friend of ours, Gary Hayes. We've had Gary Hayes here many times, just ministering over us, praying prophetically over us, speaking to us and imparting in our church. And so I called him. We're good friends. We've been talking the last couple weeks. And I said, hey, would you record and tune in for us on a Sunday? And so he's got a message planned for us that we're going to deliver on Sunday next week. We know it's Mother's Day. We got some things planned for Mother's Day as well. But please tune in next week. It's going to be an awesome time together to hear from Gary, just to be encouraged by him and just what he's hearing for the body of Christ in this season. So also, if you haven't noticed on our Facebook page this week, I did a few live posts talking about these door hangers. So we've had about 500 picked up from you guys, which is awesome, but we have a lot of them. So if you want to, if you feel comfortable to, we would love for you to stop by the church at any time. Literally, they're out in a bin outside. You don't have to interact with anybody. There's a clipboard you can sign on, just saying that you picked up how many bundles and maybe where you're thinking about passing them out. But what we want to do is put these on whatever doors and neighborhoods that we live in, people that we're around, that we would like to say, hey, we know that it feels alone in this season, but you're not, and we can help in any way. Some of it's just simply if someone needs someone to talk to or someone to pray with. There's suggestions on the back, and there's a place for you to just write your name. We went around our neighborhood the other day and just placed them on the doors, put our name. We didn't put our contact info, but we have the church's contact info, different ways that people can call, text, or message to say, hey, I actually have a physical need, or really, I just want someone to pray with me or someone to talk to. So if you would consider blessing your neighborhood by reaching out, this is a great way. They're sitting there, bundles of 20. Grab a couple, grab a bunch. Do whatever you think you can do. We have some directions to distribute right on the cover when you'll see the bundles. We want you to wear a mask. We want you to wear gloves. We want you to be safe as possible, of course. But we do want to be a part of reaching out to our community in this time. So please consider that. It's a great way to reach out, especially in this time period, which I'm going to talk about. Obviously, the season we're still in. So this morning, if you don't have message notes, there is some ways to get them. You can get them probably posted right in the feed on Facebook, but also on our website. You go right to the main page on our website, ntcmessina.com. And you'll see the notes there, and you can follow along. But today's message, I'm talking about endurance. Endurance. And years ago, I came across this scripture I'm going to read from, and then we're going to talk a little bit. And it honestly surprised me, this scripture. And it's in James 1, and we'll read it together. So this is James' letter. He's writing to the church, and it says in verse 1, he says, I'm writing to the 12 tribes of Israel, the Jewish believers scattered abroad. Now, he was literally writing to the Jewish believers, but when we read this today, he's writing to those who believe. He's writing to those who are a part of God's family. That's what this was about. And so he's writing this letter in a kind of a broad sense. And so it's literally written to you and me today. And he starts by saying this, dear brothers and sisters, when trouble comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. What an awesome way to start a letter. Like if I'm receiving a letter, I'm not sure this is what I want to hear. Especially when I'm not in a good place, or when trouble is in my life, I don't really want someone to be like, you know, patting me on the back. Hey, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Like, I just hear the words coming out of James' mouth, and I'm like, I want to punch you in the face. I don't really necessarily immediately grasp for great joy when troubles come my way. Do you? If you have the notes, I literally wrote a question. How often do we consider our troubles a great joy? And I wrote in small parentheses, for me, almost never. Almost never is my reaction to go, okay, God, I want to consider this a great joy. And so let's read on just a little bit longer. So he says, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Now, the Bible is so full of truths, so full of guidance, so full of stories that we are called to glean from, so full of just God's word to us in this day. And there's this verse, and sometimes there's verses that are so kind of bluntly put in there like this, that I'm honestly shocked when I read them. Because when James writes this, he literally says, it's almost like he's hinging everything on one thing. Which I know isn't fully true, right? There's so much truth in the Bible. There's so many sides of understanding God and so many sides to Christianity that God is always shaping us. But in this moment, James is literally hinging so much on this one word, endurance. So much so that he says, when it's fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. That's a shocking verse to me. That's shocking for me to say, okay, when I actually have endurance in my life, then I'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. And I remember reading this years ago and kind of being shocked by it and going, man, I don't know. Really? Like, is it that big of a hinge point, endurance? Well, I'll tell you what. After following God for so many years now and, you know, honestly giving my life to him in every way that I possibly can and finding myself giving my life in ministry, I can attest endurance matters drastically. It's not everything, but it matters drastically in our life. Endurance. Endurance. It's not necessarily a cuddly word, right? It's not this fuzzy, like, makes me feel good word. Now, we love to talk about joy, and Heather talked about joy, and honestly, this message is going to have a lot of this word joy in it, but it seems to always be coupled with this idea of perseverance and endurance and struggle and trouble. Now, joy, when we usually think about it, we think about, honestly, maybe a morning like today. We wake up in bed and the sun is shining and it's finally nice out and it's beautiful. And maybe, you know, Saturday was great with your family and you did something fun and you got some work done at home and you feel fulfilled and you're like, oh, I have joy. Now, that's the moment that I feel joyful. You know, yesterday I posted, I finally finished the construction, the shingling on my roof. I've been on my roof for like a week straight, sheeting it and shingling. It's super steep. I'm not that great shape, and so it's a lot of work. And I get down yesterday, I look up, and it's done, and I'm like, oh, this feels good. But when struggle comes, I had some days when I was sheeting that roof, it was not so much fun. Things would break. I dropped things off the roof. I almost fell. And I was thinking to myself, this sucks. I wasn't going, oh, this is so much fun. Now, Jer, he thinks I have fun when I'm working all the time. He's always saying that, Dad, this is your hobby. Why do you love working? I'm like, I don't really love working. I love the result of working. But when trouble comes or when obstacles come, we don't necessarily immediately feel that feeling of joy, like, oh, what an accomplishment. Oh, yes, calamity, difficulty, ooh, yay. And if you are doing that, there might be something wrong with you. I don't necessarily feel joy when I think about struggle. And I don't necessarily feel joy when I think about this word endurance. You know, of course, when I was thinking about this message and getting prepared for it, I have to think of my wife. My wife is really the best word is an endurance runner, a long distance runner. And when I mean long distance, as almost all of you know, we're not talking a mile or a couple miles or even 5 miles. We're talking 30 miles and 50 miles and 100 miles. We're talking runs that make no sense to most humans. Yet something inside her has this endurance ability when it comes to running to just push on regardless of the pain and the difficulty. She pushes on. That's endurance. Now, I don't have endurance for running at all, but I can work pretty hard. And I actually enjoy working. So I have this endurance in my mind that causes me to push forward and work till I accomplish something, because I like the result of it. So this word endurance isn't something that's supposed to make us necessarily feel cuddly or warm, but it is supposed to cause something inside us. It's supposed to cause something to rise up inside us. And when I think of this word endure, now often it can kind of be coupled with this thought like, oh, I have to get through this. Like, I just got to make it through. That's actually not what endurance is. That's more like just complaining till it's over. Endurance, the word actually means to persevere with patience. That's the Greek Hebrew meaning behind these words, is to persevere with patience. Actually, in Revelations 2, I've been reading the book of Revelation lately. Don't ask me questions about that book. It's very interesting. Obviously, many people are making lots of subjective thoughts about that and what it means to us today. But in Revelations, I'll just give you a quick overview. This is a letter written to the end time church. People ask me all the time, are we in the end times? And I'll just tell you this. We're closer than we were yesterday. I don't know. But I know that this letter does mean something in our lives. And there's this verse in Revelations 2. Where it's honestly this letter being written from God, and it's to the churches. And it's written specifically, and he says something to them. He says this, I have seen your hard work and patient endurance. It's the first line of the literal words written from God to the church. I have seen your hard work and patient endurance. First compliment. First thing written to this church is about their hard work and their patient endurance. Do we have patient endurance in our life? I generally do not have patient endurance. You know, this week when Governor Cuomo announced that, you know, schools would be closed the rest of this calendar year for the school system up until, you know, June, and they're discussing summer school. And of course, they're now even discussing fall and what that might look like. I know so many. I just went on my Facebook feed for like 10 minutes that day, and I obviously got off quickly because it was just all sadness about this announcement and posts about, oh, school. And some people trying to encourage, you know, just because the school doors are closed doesn't mean school is closed. And absolutely true. But the truth is, this is extremely hard. If you have any little kids at home, this is extremely hard. We have 5 kids, 5 different programs, 2 special needs programs that we're trying to accomplish at home. It's hard. It's really hard. So when we hear these words of, oh, it's closed, there's this thought that almost, you kind of, this heart-sinking feeling of, oh, this is going to go on longer than we anticipate or longer than we wanted to do it. And I found myself with that feeling of just wanting to complain until it was over, rather than grasping hold of this idea of how to patiently endure the seasons we're presented with. I'll tell you this, and I've said this so many times. God doesn't always give us these hardships. I'm not convinced God doesn't test us at times. He can kind of do whatever he wants. I don't believe this virus is from him. I don't believe it's a test for humanity or some sort of punishment on humanity. I don't think any of those things. But I absolutely know the one thing that is so incredible about God is he wastes nothing. He wastes nothing. The good, the bad, the in-between, the ugly, the best. He uses it all for his good. And so in the middle of this calamity and this pandemic in the world, God's saying, I'm going to use this to shape my people. I'm going to use this to shape the world. And in a sense, we talked about last week, if we let him. If we let him in our lives to shape us, he can use this moment. And so he's kind of putting this forward. And James writing to the church in the middle of their calamity, and even Paul's writings that we're going to read, he talks about patiently enduring with joy in the middle of difficult seasons. Let me just ask you this. When your friends look at you, do you look just like them? Or are you patiently enduring differently? I mean, this is an easy evaluation season. If I act, sound like, and look like everyone else that's kind of freaking out in the world or seeing it from a certain way or feeling certain ways about this calamity and this pandemic, am I actually different than them? I don't know. We're supposed to be different. We talked about this, right? We talked about repentance and transformation. God's bringing us to a new place. He's bringing us to look at something different. He wants us to be different within this world. It doesn't mean we don't experience the same emotions. It doesn't mean we don't experience the same difficulties. It means we're supposed to act different in the middle of it. And this scripture says endurance, when it's fully developed in us, it will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. I would like to feel that way. Does anybody feel that way? Anybody right now, in your heart of hearts, in your deepest place, would you just say, I don't need a thing. I'm perfect. Complete. I feel it. I feel it. I'm not being, you know, arrogant. I literally just feel like God has made me perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you are, you can speak next week. I don't feel that way, generally, ever. Once in a while, I get a glimpse of feeling the goodness of God in my life and the gratefulness for what he's done. And I feel like, God, maybe he's done something in me in a moment, or I've been worshiping, and finally my mind is recentered, and I just realize, God, you've got this. Now, let me skip down in my notes. I want to talk about this idea of perfection. Actually, we'll jump down to Philippians 3. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Philippians 3, this is Paul writing, and he says it this way. He says, I don't mean to say I have already achieved these things, or that I have already reached perfection. So this is Paul saying it. He's saying, I don't mean to say I have reached there. I don't mean to say I have reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. Now, I'll just be real quick to say this. I don't actually believe that in the term perfect, in the way that we view it, we can ever quite become this side of humanity. The word perfection here, in its actual meaning, was meant to say, I put it in your notes, the perfection spoke of here simply means to bring to completion a task set before you. That's what they were talking about. It was a fulfillment of something. It was a completion of something. And so when we're looking at becoming perfect, we're not talking about no blemish, no mistakes, no issues. We're talking about God completing something within us. We're talking about reaching this place where we understand who God is in our lives. We understand his love for us, and in return have relationship with him. When that lines up, when we know his love for us and his love in our lives and what it's accomplished, even though there might still be some junk, we're perfect. That's what grace is. That's what the cross literally did for us. He literally took the requirement of actually becoming perfect and said, no, I'll take care of that part. And all you have to do is understand my love for you, my relationship with you, and receive my grace for it. And then we become perfect. And Paul says, not that I've attained it. I haven't reached it. I mean, even Paul writes these riddles of saying things like, man, the stuff I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I still do. I don't know what's wrong with me. This Paul writes this. Don't we all feel that way sometimes? We hear another announcement or another thing that happens in the news, and we thought we were feeling great, and then all of a sudden we just feel like junk again. And then if you're like me, you kind of go, why do I feel this way again? Why do I keep getting back to the same place? God wants us to learn to endure through the circumstance with him within us. Romans 5, let's turn there. I gave you a description of endure in your notes. If you've seen it, it's just there. It says to suffer something difficult or painful patiently. That's the actual dictionary version on Google. It still has the word patient there. It's not even just from Greek meaning or a picture of them. They literally put in there, endure means to suffer something difficult or painful patiently. Now, some of us are like, well, I can suffer something difficult or painful all day long. But when you actually want to be counted as enduring, patiently has to be in there. Patiently. Patiently. I'm not sure Americans, at least, are so good at patient. I went through the drive-thru yesterday at McDonald's. And we're getting near the drive-thru, and we have all the kids, all five of them. And I start whispering to the three of them that kind of understand. Because I'll tell you, we just have a history at drive-thrus that's unfortunately terrible. Okay? You'd think that I could take my family through a drive-thru and it would go okay. And you're trying to imagine what happens here. Generally, just before I get to the order, something happens in the back that sets my daughter Mara off, and she decides this is the moment I want to scream bloody murder. And she either screams a couple of things. She screams for Kayla Kesner, because Kayla makes her happy. She screams to go home, or she screams help. So imagine pulling up to a drive-thru just as kids are fighting, then Mara gets angry that the kids are fighting, and then she's screaming, help, I want to go home. And you're trying to order burgers. It's never fun. So I'm whispering to my kids, and I'm saying, hey, guys, be quiet when we get in here. Don't say anything. And just like 5 seconds later, as if I didn't say anything, because this is normal parenting, they get upset, Mara gets upset. It becomes this huge thing, and immediately I go from like 0 to 60 in frustration and anger. And we get to the drive-thru, and I'm handing the thing. Mara's upset. She's yelling. She's screaming. And I'm giving the card, and I'm not even looking at the person right now because I can't. And I don't know what happened, but it was the longest transaction in drive-thru history. While Mara was upset. It just has to be. And we get to the next window, and we get it, and we go off to the side and just sit, you know, literally on the side of the road, because we're actually going through McDonald's just for Mara, and then we're going to Taco Bell for the rest of the kids. And I'm like, we got to wait till she calms down. And inside, I'm trying to evaluate, God, how am I supposed to get through these kinds of situations? Just simple, seems like it ought to be simple, but simple situations, patiently. And I had just read these scriptures just before it, and I was like burning a hole in my brain, like, patiently endure, patiently endure. I don't have that kind of patience often. It's not within me in this natural sense. And I was reading later that day, Romans 5. I want to turn there. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn there with me. And again, Paul writes it this way in verse 3, says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. Rejoice. For we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Let's just stop real quick. Endurance is actually working for us, is what this scripture is telling us. Trials and troubles come in our life, and it causes us to react in certain ways, sometimes not so appropriately, but sometimes God gives us this ability. We have this patient endurance, and then that works in us to do something else. And it says it builds in us a strength of character. I want strength of character in my life. And then it says, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this is the next verse that I want us to hear deeply. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. Another version just says, and this hope does not disappoint. How many of you are disappointed right now? Thousands of reasons why. Seniors that don't get to walk down the aisle and receive their diploma in front. Trips canceled. Milestones in people's lives that are just canceled and may never be made up. Seeing the look on your children's faces, they just sit day in and day out wishing, my son's just disappointed, it's his last season of Little League. May not happen. Disappointment so deep that it actually comes inside us and starts to work something different within us. Instead of causing us to have patient endurance, instead of causing us to have hope, instead of causing us to have this joy that Paul and James seem to write about, even amidst trials, it seems to breed something different within us. But when I read this scripture, I'm reminded that the hope that Jesus gives, it does not disappoint. And in this moment, in this age, and 6 weeks into this pandemic, and with it in an uncertainty time period ahead, the thing we need to bury deep within our hearts, to write on our hearts, is that God's hope does not disappoint. The world may disappoint, circumstances may disappoint, even our relationships and friendships may disappoint, but Jesus Christ and the hope that he has given us does not disappoint. And amidst everything else, in every other circumstances, when things don't go the way we planned, when we can't even get through a drive-through with some peace and happiness, when all the situations that we plan to look a certain way don't go that way, amidst all of that disappointment, we can look to Jesus and remember he does not disappoint. Now, we can have an unrealistic expectation on God and cause it to disappoint us for him, but he doesn't fix these situations. I wish he did. But almost never in Scripture do we see Jesus come into the midst of a problem, wipe it out, or take people away. He changes the person in the moment. He changes the person within. Even he changes, you know, healing and physical things in the moment, but he never comes and just fixes everything. Even in the midst of the storms, he comes on the water and he just tells them to be calm. Even in the midst of other situations, he comes and he's there with them. One moment, the storm's going on, he's sleeping in it. Now he does calm it after, but he's sleeping in the middle. Storms happen. Jesus is with us amidst it, and he does not disappoint this morning. Maybe you need some hope today. Maybe you've put your hope in different situations. Maybe you were just hoping school would come back. Maybe you were hoping this situation would turn around sooner. Maybe you were hoping for certain milestones in this pandemic. Well, let's just say this. Put that stuff aside and put your hope in something 100%. Jesus. Because when I turn my eyes to him, when I look at him in that way, the disappointment seems to fade. The frustration and the emotions fade away, and I just remember the goodness of him in my life. I remember the incredibleness of how much we are in the midst of what we're living through, how good we actually have it. I remember the perspective of what he's doing within me. And I realize Jesus does not disappoint. Mark 13, Jesus says it this way. It's a little bit of a rough statement, but he says, and everyone will hate you because you're my followers. Thanks. Good promise there, Jesus. But then he says this, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Jesus was warning his disciples in that moment that in that city, in that time, after he was going to be hung on the cross, he said, they're going to hate you because you're my followers. But if you endure, you will be saved. And that word saved, it's not, we're not talking about a ticket to heaven here. That's not what that is referring to. It's not that salvation grace thing. It's literally the rescue of us for him. It's us coming into him. It's us being related to him. It's that distance between us being closed. It was the perfection. It was actually a similar word. It was slight twist on it in the Greek, but it was the same family of words that was saying, it will be complete if you endure. And I want to promise you, if you endure patiently through this season, not only will God develop things in you, not only will he grow things in you, not only will he grow your character and all those things, but he'll give you hope. And at the end of it, I believe God will bless us. I believe there will be fulfillment in us. I believe we can experience joy right now. Second Corinthians 4:17. I want to read this to finish up. I don't have this in your notes. Second Corinthians 4:17. It says this, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Our present troubles are small and they won't last long. He's trying to give us this eternal perspective. He says, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs those troubles and lasts forever. What God is doing in this season within you can last for eternity. He wants to shape you into who he's designed you to be. And then he goes on to say this. He's talking to him too. I love Paul because he includes himself in almost all his letters. He says we more than anything. He says, so we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. The hope that comes from Jesus, the promises that come from Jesus will last forever. But the hopes and things that we're looking for now, they will fade away, guaranteed. But when we fix our eyes on him and on the right things, that hope fills us. And that's what he's imploring of us today. What are we going to fix our eyes on? What can we shift our eyes from right now? What in your world have you been staring at and just wishing and hoping for? Maybe you should shift your eyes off that thing and how we can look to what God wants in this moment. What gaze should you be looking at? Where should your eyes be looking to? What are the ways in which Jesus is developing you in this season? There shouldn't be, is Jesus developing you in this season? You need to look, what are the ways he is? Because he is. He's working within you. Maybe you've tuned in this morning. Maybe you don't know anything about God. Maybe you don't know if Jesus is real. I want to promise you today, he is real and he is in your life and wants you to know him. He wants you to know that he has hope for you and that his hope will not disappoint you. His promises will not disappoint. And so wherever you are, in your house, in your car, whenever you listen to this, I want to pray with you right now. If that's you, if you're saying, man, I don't even know if I belong to this family, all you have to do is simply pray, God, I want to be a part. You can do it right now. God, I want to be in this family of yours. God, I don't want to do it my way any longer. I want to follow you. And maybe you're listening and you're a follower of Jesus and you're a follower just like Paul is writing to and James is writing to in those letters. And you're saying, God, I need this confident hope. I need this patient endurance in my life. Well, I'll tell you right now, it's actually a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Patience. A fruit of the Holy Spirit. It means that sometimes you just can't do it on your own. You can't muster up the patience you need. And when we can't do it on our own, when we don't have the ability, the Holy Spirit is there to do it for us. So I want to pray with you right now that you ask, wherever you are right now, ask the Holy Spirit, come into my life and give me patient endurance. Father, we just invite you right now, Holy Spirit, we invite you in our lives in this moment. We need your endurance in this season. God, I pray right now that when people look at the church in this historical moment, in this pandemic, they don't see people frantic and lost and full of fear, but they see people patiently enduring. Not people that have all the answers or have all the pat situations, but God, simply just say, we're looking to Jesus. We don't know what's going to happen next week or the week after that, but we know Jesus has us. And so we patiently endure. Holy Spirit, we need you. We need you in our lives. Grow within us. Father, I pray right now for every family watching, every person that stumbles onto this. God, I pray right now for your Holy Spirit to minister right now in their lives. God, come into their hearts. First, with your love, with your peace and your hope, but God, give them the endurance in this season that they need. We thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. Be blessed this week. I pray right now that you feel hope come into your life. And if you have, I just want to encourage you, as much as we want you to send in videos of just saying hi to your family here at church, please send in some videos. Send in a post that just says, this is what God is speaking in my heart. This is what God is doing right now. Make it real for what God is doing within you. Have a blessed day. We'll see you again soon.
Thank you for listening to NTC Messina's podcast. We hope you join us next week and have a blessed day.